Why don't we just have a word? We'll just ask God to meet us here this morning, and as we look forward to what God's going to share through Denise. So, Lord Jesus, we just come to you today. And God, we thank you for Denise. We thank you for this life, and we thank you that she is here this morning to share with us, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would use her this morning to speak into our hearts, God. I pray that she would speak the very words of God to us. And Lord, as she speaks, I pray that she would speak to people that have an open heart, an open mind, and eyes to see, God, what you're doing and what you're saying to us, Lord. So, Father, we want to give you the rest of this time that we have together. And we pray for Denise, too, as she struggles with her throat here, just not feeling so good. Lord, we just pray that you would touch that, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. It's very nice to be here. Thank you for letting me come. I have very mixed feelings about coming here on Mother's Day, however, because in my history, in my world, Mother's Day is kind of a tricky day. And it wasn't always like that. When I was younger and had young kids, I loved Mother's Day because I would get presents, and in the church I went to at the time, they'd have all the mothers stand up and they'd give them flowers, and you know, you felt like a bit of a hotshot. It was kind of a good thing. But then life continued on, and that was about the point where I started working at the counseling group. And I began to hear stories and meet people, and also in my own life, I began to connect with other people and came to realize that days like Mother's Day really can be quite fraught for a lot of people. It can be a very difficult day. As Cam said earlier, if you're one of the ones for whom Mother's Day is just a joy and you're going to get taken out for lunch and you got the presents and the breakfast in bed and everything's great and the kids are great and we all love each other, bully for you. That's the kind we all planned on having, right? But there's the rest of us. And there's a pretty mixed group. We could go around if we had time and find out what it's like in other ways. For some people, they never got to be mothers, and they always wished they could, and they thought they would, and it just didn't happen. And that's a terrible disappointment and confusion, and it still doesn't make any sense. And then there's people who became mothers and found it unremittingly hard. They didn't have easy kids. They didn't have the kids like everybody looks like in church, the obedient, lovely, succeeding in school, have a ton of friends, those kids. They didn't have those kids. They had other kids that have been very costly to parent, and they love them, but it's been hard. Mothering's been hard. There's people who just by circumstances of health got cheated out of it, and there's people for whom it's great. So there's this wide spectrum. And I think if we then think about our mothers, because that's the only thing I know we all have in common, is we all have mothers. If we think about them, we realize that some of us had amazing mothers, just astounding. And the further away we get from those years, the better they get. They were always wonderful. They never got mad. They were loved us more than anything, more than anybody's ever loved us. But there's the other probably 70% of us who had kind of regular mothers, kind of regular people who had good days and lousy days and who sometimes loved us exactly right and other times just did not have a clue what we needed. And then there's people who had terrible mothers who couldn't mother. And even in a group this small, there will be people who have stories of not being mothered well at all, and always missing it, watching other people's families, and knowing it wasn't like your family. So that's the trickiness of Mother's Day. I want to ask you a question that I want you to bear in mind as we go through this time, and that is, where do you feel most at home? Where is home for you? As we live our lives, we discover that feeling at home is much more than the house we lived in then or we live in now or the apartment. It's not that. For the place where our mother was, maybe she still is. But home, in the way I want us to think about it this morning, is more like the place where we belong, where we have a place, where we fit, where we can be our real self, our plain self, not our fancy self, not our I'm wonderful self, but our plain self, and it's safe to do it. It's never perfect, never, but it's the place where somehow things are all right for the most part, and we count on that. Home is where we're just plain us. There's a few lines of Henry Nouwen's that I like where he says, we are not what we do. We can't identify ourselves by what we do, although we do with each other all the time. But in the end, we won't be able to do that. We won't be able to identify just by what we do. We are not what we have. That does not define us. We are not what others think of us. And that's really important to know, isn't it? Because often we feel like we do get trapped there. Coming home is claiming the truth that I am the beloved child of a loving creator. That's where home is. So let's talk about that some more. In my experience, not just at work, but in life, I think most people have a deep longing for more home than they have, access to. So even people who have great homes and happy families, whatever that configuration looks like, there are times where we need more safety, more okayness, more security, more being seen and understood than we can access. We have that, I think, because we're human and we're not in heaven yet. And so there's a space in us that longs for more than we have. We don't feel it all the time. We feel it sometimes. Some people hardly feel it at all. They're not aware of it. They're usually quite busy people, often quite successful people, and they wouldn't know what we're talking about yet. But I believe that sooner or later, everybody gets to know what it's like to realize, here I am with what I had hoped for or the best I could produce, and somehow I feel not enough. I feel alone, or I feel excluded. I feel like I don't belong. Every human being has that experience. And if you haven't yet, you will. So there is a sense in what one of the other things we have in common is a certain level of homesickness. And I'm not talking about being homesick for your home where you grew up. I'm talking about being homesick for the home none of us have got to yet. The one where Jesus is building a place for us. Remember that? That's the home we're homesick for. We probably wouldn't put it in those words all the time, but I think it's a present reality in all healthy people. So what is homesickness? Well, generally speaking, it's what people feel when they're not home and they wish they were. But it's also, somebody else called it loneliness in the bones. That's a good description. When you're deeply homesick for whatever reason, it does feel lonely in the bones. A feeling like something's lost and you can't get it back. You're not even sure what it is. But I would suggest it can also be a word we use to describe the vague sense that in our ordinary lives and in ordinary days, we are in some way strangers. We are not fully at home anywhere. You know, people talk about when I'm with people, I wish I was home alone. And when I'm home alone, I wish I was with people. That feeling of just, where's the right place to be? It's quite common. And sometimes this feeling, this homesick, not quite right, I don't know where I belong feeling, can happen in the oddest places. It can happen sitting around the dinner table with the people you love the most. And there's nothing going on, nothing terrible, but there's conversations going on, and all of a sudden you start to feel like you are not in it. You don't somehow fit in this conversation. It can be at a Bible study or sitting in church. It can be anywhere where it just hits you that you feel different or out separated or excluded in some way. And it's not something people are doing to you. It's an experience we're having. Homesick can be missing a literal place of belonging, an actual person, but it can also be part of our experience as Christians, and I would suggest it is. The sense of either missing something we once had or missing something we have never had yet. So here's another question for you this morning. What would it feel like for you? What does homesickness, and you might not use that word, feel like for you? Would it be mostly nostalgia for what used to be when we were young and little? Or would homesickness just be a feeling to be avoided at all costs, and you'd be much more comfortable just staying busy, getting things done, and trying to make sure all the holes inside you are full, so we just don't go there? And that would be pretty normal. What I want to suggest is that it's important in our lives not to confuse this kind of homesickness with something else. Because if we're not clear about it, we might do the wrong thing with it. We might actually approach the empty feeling, the alone feeling, the wrong way. If we find we're feeling dissatisfied and sad because there's a specific problem happening that needs to be addressed and it needs to be understood and something has to change with this particular problem, then the right thing to do at that time is to face the truth, get help, and start nibbling away at dealing with that. There is a right time to fix things, right? But in our world that we live in, just about everything that is not happy inside us, we feel should be fixed. Everything needs to be fixed. So if you're depressed, you should fix it so you're not depressed anymore. Or if you've had a loss, you should get over it and move forward. There's a belief deep in our culture that says things need to be fixed when they're broken. It's not biblical, it's not godly, and it's not what happens. Yes, some things get fixed, and praise God for that. And sometimes you're the one who makes it happen, and sometimes it's God that makes it happen, for which we are abjectly grateful. But sometimes it doesn't happen. So what do we need to do then? What if this homesickness I'm talking about is different than fixing things? We do not have to address it as an issue that needs to be dealt with. What if it's at least in part the same feeling that Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jesus had? What if it's the same kind of feeling that they had? Because they had times like that too, didn't they? And you, if you're thinking, I don't think that's in the Bible, you go back and do some reading, especially if you are confused about my reference to Jesus. Read about Gethsemane, and you'll find some words that are quite surprising and quite comforting. So if these feelings are not wrong, it's this feeling of being alone or separate or not having a home that is what you need, what if that is a signpost to you every time you feel it? That is an indicator. It's like a red light coming on. And it's telling you that the feeling you're having is a true and legitimate feeling. You are sad. You are not home. You don't have to talk yourself out of that. It's okay to feel this way. It's important to feel this way. What if this feeling that comes now and then is one of the ways that the presence of God actually lets us know he's there? Most often we don't know. But what if it's one of the times where the paraclete has come alongside, and because Jesus, Emmanuel, is so close to us, we can actually feel our longing for home? Maybe it's not bad news. Maybe it's an indicator of good news, a hard feeling that indicates something good, something important. Here's what I want you to think about today. It could be that this longing is like the pillar of fire that went in front of the Israelites by night and the pillar of cloud by day. You remember that part? By day, the Lord went ahead of them. I am so sorry about this voice. Is it just wearing you down? I'm sure I have a much lovelier voice normally. You just have to put up with it. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night ever left its place in front of them. What if our longing for more, what if our longing to be more, our longing to be better than we find ourselves, longing to have a different kind of family, longing to have a safe place where you're not afraid at all anymore, what if that longing is actually a gift to you? It's a gift in disguise. We all get it, but it's not a bad thing. It's a present for you. Let's just try to stretch your brain to think that. What would it be like to see this strange and unpredictable homesickness, this longing for more, as perhaps one of the most tangible connections with the promises of God? Not so much that we should have confident faith that never has questions and we just stride on purposefully and we're never shaken. It's not about that. It's not about absolute certainty. I know that I know that I know. It's not about that. Rather, it's the sharp awareness of longing for something you hope for but do not yet have. The author of Hebrews describes the same experience with the great saints this way. And you've read this many times, I'm sure. All these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. So if you haven't read that lately, you go home and read it. It's in Hebrews 11, 13 and 14. That's an important verse. Maybe when we get that homesick feeling or the not enoughness of things, or think about days like Mother's Day, whatever it is, and what it's really like for us, maybe especially the not enoughness of ourselves. Maybe we're not just missing home, although we are missing home. Maybe we're not just missing our mom, although often we are. And maybe we're not just missing the life that we thought we should have, life the way we thought it should be. We got this life, this marriage, this not marriage, this kid, this not kid, this divorce, whatever it is, this is what we got. And it doesn't look like I thought it should. More often, I think in those circumstances, we are realizing that we are seeing what we longed for from afar. We are strangers. We are aliens. And sometimes we have moments of such good connection and such fine community. But when we're on our own, often it's when we face these things in ourselves. What we believe as Christians is that one day we will see Jesus face to face and we will be like him. In the twinkling of an eye, we will see Jesus face to face, and we will be transformed so that we're like him. That is very good news. The bad news is you'll be dead. Okay? So you just got to get clear on that. This ain't happening in this life. So any hope you had for that kind of transformation, just let it go. No, what we believe is that's going to happen. But right alongside that awareness, we realize we don't see him yet. We don't. We have signs. We have signs and we pay attention to them. We have indicators. But we don't live walking with a physical Jesus beside us all the time. And often I'll have people come into sessions who are very concerned about their faith because they don't have the experiences that other people have, and it's very painful. But God works differently in all of us, doesn't he? And we don't all have the same experience, and that's a good thing. And so we don't want to be comparing ourselves with anybody about how it should be. It apparently should be the way it is. Right now, you're right in the middle of the will of God. And you're probably full of sin, just full of it. And you're probably going to go out of here and sin before you even have lunch. It's not about that, because that's all taken care of. Right now, you're in the middle of the road. You're where you should be. You're not perfected yet. Let us have no questions about that. But you're there. And God is with you. The hard part is that we're living by faith. Now, doesn't that just kill you? That should just kill you, living by faith. We would much rather live by sight, where you know stuff. I know Jesus loves me because he came and stood beside me in the flesh and said, I love you. Then I would be a good Christian. I would be a much better person if I could just know. But the Bible says we don't get that. We live by faith, substance of things unseen, and not by sight. So we don't have to be happy about that. You don't have to like it. It's just the way it is. That's what the Bible says. So we have this living hope in us that Jesus really is here, really here, right beside you, that he really is. And we have no particular indicator of that right at this very moment. But we believe it. We try to believe it, right? We try to believe it. We put energy into trying to believe 6 impossible things before breakfast. And sometimes that is the belief that God is with you is a hard thing to believe. But that is what is commended in the Bible as the right way for us to walk. Our living hope is that God is here, loving us with an everlasting love, knowing exactly how we tick, knowing what we said last night that was unforgivable, knowing all the things about us, and still saying, I choose you. That's who God is. In the Princess Bride, there's a line, the Lord of permanent affection. That's one I like to remember, that he is here and that he is faithful. He will do what he promised. He will complete what he has begun. And that's what we put all our hope in. We hope, hope, hope. We try to believe. We work really hard at it. When it becomes easy, you should come and talk to me, because it shouldn't be easy. Faith is hard. Living by faith is hard. Anybody who thinks it's easy actually isn't probably living by faith. You're probably doing something else. This is our promise that God is faithful, that he knows us, he understands us, he chooses us, as even after he knows us, he chooses us. He loves us, promises to never leave us. That's our promise, and that's our hope. Not only in the future down there, but right now, today, that's our hope. Living by faith is harder than any of us could have known when we started. We really do prefer knowing. We prefer to feel like we belong all the time. That would be a lot nicer, to feel like I live in the heart of God and the heart of God lives in me, and to feel that. I think that would have been a better choice, and God should have done it that way. But sadly, that has not worked out that way. And God didn't do it that way. So he said, yes, you do live in me, and I live in you. But you just don't get to feel it very often. And some people never get to feel it. And some people feel something quite significant often. So it's just we just can't compare, because God does different things in each of us. So we are learning, to finish off, we are learning to hold firmly to the hope we confess. Hang on to your hope. And know that God is hanging on to you. For he who promised he is preparing a home for us is faithful. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that's a promise, and that's for you. And he is faithful. So when we gather together like this, we are reminding each other, and we should do it often, about the great love and mercy that holds us all so differently. And so firmly. It's not just on special days, not just on Sundays. This is every day we need to know this. You are held in the unshakable arms of permanent affection. You are safe. So we go in peace today, not because life is so perfect, and we all have this wonderful Mother's Day heaven ahead of us. We go out and remind each other as much as we can that all is well. Somehow, despite everything, all is well, and all manner of things will be well. And that's the truth. Thanks be to God.
Do you want to take a question?
Sure.
We always risk this because there's quite a few of us here. Don't go off track on this, okay?
And if you have anything harsh to say, say it to Owen.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to say. In the first service, somebody said, you know, they thought when they were single that things would work out. They worked out okay, but so maybe when we have children. So they had children, and they got nice children, and they said, well, but it's still, feels like something's missing. And they said, then we got this, then we got that. Of course, the thing was, it's never coming. There's nothing. So there's, you know, anything you're hoping that's going to be, it may not. It may not. I've been praying for something for my whole life, hasn't come. And you may be the same way. So just, do you have a question about this longing in our hearts? Just raise your hand if you do, so we can have you stand. And oh, maybe you explained it
thoroughly. Clearly. Thank you.
Is there, okay, what's your way to come on? Anybody just has a...
I think we're good.
Wow. Denise, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, would you, yeah. One of the things that was said in the first service that was helpful, I thought, is that the church for many is a godsend, because it becomes a family. Is it perfect? No. And that's why it doesn't work many times, because people demand that the church be perfect. It can't be perfect, and we can't be there for everything, but we can be there for some significant things, to help each other, encourage each other. And some things we're just going to have to sigh and say, I guess it's not yet. We're thinking we should have some T-shirts made, you know, that would say, it's going to get better. But it may not get better today. Right? It may not. And to be able to live with that with joy and peace in your heart is a remarkable thing, a beautiful thing. And where would we be had it not been for the Lord, right? His goodness and his kindness. Well, Denise, we thank you for, you know, she's come to our church several times. We used to do some workshops with us. We should resurrect that again. But I can see why when people say, do you know a good counselor? I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know a good counselor. You're going to, because they always ask for her. She's kind of like a legend in our church. You can do no wrong here, Denise. You are really appreciated. So thank you, everybody, for being here this morning. Now, coffee is on the patio. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good coffee. So until the perfect comes, would you join us on the patio? God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.